And before we begin, can we just have a quick introduction of your name, your educational qualification, where you're currently teaching, as what you are in your institution, and what courses in teacher education does your institute offer?
Thank you, Mayuri, for this opportunity. I'm Dr. Judy Grace Andrews. I am currently the in-charge principal of Gandhi Sikshan Bhavan, Srimati Suraj Bhav College of Education. Well, this institute cater to the teacher education, that is B.Ed. That's a course we run in our institution. We do not have any degree other colleges attached to us. Our college actually believes not only just in theory, but actually practices Gandhian philosophy, because our visionary, the founder, Sri Vajubhai Patel, and his wife, both of them have decided, they're freedom fighters, actually. And so they had a mission to propagate, practice, especially with regard to the education system, basic education, that is Naitalim, where now there's a lot of forces given with regard to experiential learning. So actually, we have been practicing this right from the time of inception, which is 50 years back. We have just completed our 50 years in this institution. I'm working for the last 23 years in this institution.
Okay.
And we try to weave our curriculum along with the Gandhian philosophy and Tagore's philosophy. So we have a lot of activities. We believe that the teachers not only just have knowledge, but practically they need to work, put their hands into practice. So we have been pioneers in introducing to the university rural education, craft education, social work, and things like that. Okay. Yeah.
And yours is an aided college?
Yeah, it's an aided institution.
Okay. And you're affiliated to the University of Mumbai?
Yeah. Yeah, we are affiliated to the University of Mumbai. That's true.
And ma'am, how much, so it's just B.Ed. that you offer, right, in terms of teacher education?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. And ma'am, how much is the NCTE approved intake for B.Ed.?
Actually, 50 okay. per unit. But this year, the Maharashtra government has given us 5 more additional seats of economically weaker section of the society. So we have this year, we have in our one, starting with this year, we have 52 in our present unit.
Okay. And ma'am, for 2019 and 20, how much would have been the intake?
50 in a unit. One, okay. We have only one unit.
Right.
So which means we have 50 students.
So the admission was full?
Yes, admission was always full.
Okay. Okay. And ma'am, so I wanted to understand a little about what kind of students secure admission into your PhD.
Okay, our students basically, they come from the CET, which is right. Maharashtra's CET cell. From there, we get the 100%. So we okay. do not have say over the input.
Right.
And whoever comes in, we have to accommodate according to the rules and regulations. So 50% of them are from the reserve category and 50% of them are from the open category. And as per the rules and regulations of the Maharashtra government, we take the students.
And ma'am, how many students come from science, arts, commerce stream?
It is a kind of a lopsided. We do have this year admission. We have about, say, not 50, a little less than that, maybe about 40-30% of the students are from the science background.
Okay.
Of course, we have a lot of commerce students coming in, though it's restricted to only 3% of the students to be enrolled. We do have, and we don't have any control over that, because as per the government gives us the students, we just take them. So we do have an equal number of students on the commerce background, though we do not offer a commerce method in our institution. So as per the rule, it says that we can give them, as the principal has the can give them the methods that is offered to them.
Okay. And ma'am,
So we decide to give them based on their background, because commerce students have a little bit of mathematics background, so we tell them to take mathematics, but they do not want to take pure mathematics, so they go for language and history, geography, or something like that.
And which
I'm not exactly for, because as teachers, you don't have the basic content of history and geography, and you would be teaching the students of the secondary section. So that is very sad. Initially, when they gave commerce, it was master's degree commerce, because junior college required BEd trained teachers. So MCom students were allowed to do the training.
Okay.
But later on, political pressures, political views changed. So they have given commerce graduates to be enrolled for the B.Ed. course, which I feel is totally not the right thing to do, because even in school, they do not have anything regarding to commerce up to the 10th standard. Okay. Only 11th and 12th have the application of commerce in one of the elective courses that they want to specialize in that, and that's where the bifurcation comes. So it's a sad saga. What to do? Nothing can be done.
And ma'am, so apart from arts, commerce, science, are there any other backgrounds of students?
Because it's a teachers, they're going to be teachers, all school subjects are allowed. Like social science, we have history, geography, economics. Languages, we have Hindi, Marathi, and English. So they're allowed to join the courses.
And then how would you describe the quality of their academic qualification? I mean, what proportion that get admitted into your B.Ed. Come from, you know, first class percentage?
I would say that criteria is not based on the marks that you obtain. Imagine now in the pandemic, students are getting graduated. Now that 2 years, imagine students were graduating this year. Last year also pandemic year, they have not studied much. This year also total pandemic, not studied much. The kind of exams that they give, the kind of knowledge that's been tested, the kind of even input that's been given to them. There is nothing like, we are still to have an online, I'm not against online teaching. But if we have to have an online teaching, it is not just a talk like this. There should be a two-way process for them to ask questions and understand, and then you are supplementing, and that's how the process should go, which is not happening, because everything is taken over it was just a tsunami that came and hit, and everybody was carried away to another island, and we are there stranded, I would say, because nobody could get an access of things with them, what we need to do. Nobody had planned the kind of things, including right from the instruments to the tech, all the other knowledge that they had to pick up. Everything has to be kind of picked up from here and there, and a plastering work and just finish it off there. That's very, so I find the quality of the teachers are quite substandard that's going to be, and that is, and so that's where I feel it's going to affect the entire section of the teachers.
And then how would you compare your students' academic profile with other colleges who do offer B.Ed. courses?
Yeah. I would actually say my students stand far ahead. Why? Not because of in terms of marks. I'm not looking at marks at all. I'm looking in terms of the quality that's been imbibed in them.
Yes.
Because we believe head, heart, and hand has to be trained. And so we believe in the 3H. And so we see that they are trained in all activities.
Okay.
So when a student goes from here, it's not only gaining knowledge of something, but they also learn skills. To the extent, I don't think right at this moment, SUPW is being practiced in all institutions. But our institutions, one thing we believe, that socially useful productive work is something that should be trained for them so that they can train train the students to have some skills, because your hand has to be used to these kind of skills. So we teach them a lot of useful ones. Some of them to name it, we teach them tailoring. We teach them tailoring in the sense, not a full-fledged. Within the course that is permitted, we do teach them some kind of, to make an apron, to make a pillow cover. So at least they know a little bit of sewing and stitching.
Okay.
We teach them what you call macrame, the pot hangers. Macrame is a skill that you make the sutli, and then...
Could you tell me the name again?
Macrame.
Okay, I'll just write it down.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, ma'am.
So we make a lot of, that is a pot hanger, you can put the flower pots or even any decorative pieces that can be made out of it through knots that we use. To teach them in that. So that's another activities that we have. Another thing that we teach them is to make out of cardboard. We teach them decorative pieces so they can make a cutout and do that as well. And another thing, activity that we used to have is to make puppets.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So these are the skills that we teach them so that they are able to pick up those skills also as part of their teaching learning process. They use these puppets and other things. They do use it in the classroom teaching as well. We used to teach them different kinds of puppets like hand puppets, paper puppets, finger puppets, things like that.
Oh, wow. So, that's a huge... lot of things
I can learn. So we do dedicate in our curricular activity a particular time as well. Also, we teach them about how to make files and all those things not with the plastics, but with the cardboard and other things, how they make a real file. So that's been useful. So apart from teaching the curricular activities, we do have this as part of a philosophy to teach them. So craft is the core through which our whole curriculum weaves around.
Okay. And ma'am, what is the proportion of men to women in students?
I would say 1:2 when you take a ratio, because out of 50, there is hardly about, this time I have 5 boys.
Oh, okay.
Out of 50, okay. So it is very, very few boys, few men turn to this profession.
Okay, yeah, that's true. Okay. And ma'am, like you said, it's just the CET that they get. CET is something that they give when they get enrolled in the program, right? So, ma'am, what are the colleges that students prefer, students who secure high rank prefer? And what are the ranks of students who get admitted in your college?
See, we have a mixed batch, but most of them come from the rural background because our college itself is situated in the suburb, so they come from a rural background. When you look at the and most of them are also the language is another problem for them, so they speak basically Hindi or Marathi more than English. So in our college, as I told you, the input is very low. I don't get very high rank for thing, except a few. A few of them are there who are really have come from the meritorious group. So.
Okay. And then, so yours is the institute that offers the Gandhian and the Tagorean principle of teaching. Are there any other colleges that do so that students are like they have options that they can go to for such?
As far as I know, no.
Okay, so it's just yours.
Yeah, we are about 12 aided colleges here, and in the vicinity of Maharashtra and in the Mumbai region, I would say, or your University of Mumbai. According to me, none of the colleges have these philosophical-based teaching that's going on.
And ma'am, so how many students take up mathematics and science once they get enrolled in the B.Ed. course?
Yeah, it's that's what I told you. We have a good number of 25 students. Half 50% of the population goes for math science.
And the others.
Yeah, for the languages.
And ma'am, so earlier the B.Ed. course was for 1 year, then it went on for 2 years, then went on to become 2 years. So do you think the profile of students have also changed since this 1 year, 2 year course?
Yeah, because of this, when we had 1 year, we had a little more quality students coming in for teaching. But when for 2 years, we found that there was a drop in the quality with regard to content knowledge, with regard to the background that they come from. Because I feel because they have no other option, they're coming to teaching, and then in the Because I think teaching has not picked up so much as a lucrative when it compares to the other professional courses. We are professional course, but it does not, people have not identified the importance of giving education, teachers as a, as you know, more value by making it more lucrative. Ultimately, it ends with the pay packet that you receive. So the I mean, they do have. They do have instill them in them, appreciate them, or they get do with recognition and all of that is there. But when you look at the off late, even that is going away because it's all becoming more commercial. And so the one who pay is the one who talks more and speaks more. So the students are or feel that I pay money, so you better give me what I need. So the morale has changed a lot. So you find that there is no more a kind of a dignity attached to this profession that used to be. So teacher means they look up. I would say on both ends, even people who are, because it's all the product that comes in. The dedication, their commitment becomes lesser and lesser and lesser. Very few of them come for the, have a passion for teaching. And they come, if you have a passion for, then you have the commitment, then you don't look at anything else. But that is reducing a lot.
Makes sense. So,
Uh,
and
and
yeah, sorry.
and so much so we do not know how what would be the 4 year course, where at 12th standard they have to decide with regard to the profession that they're going to take up. So we do not know how many of them will have a real passion for teaching and take up that as a vocation.
So, Okay. So then, ma'am, what would be the socioeconomic profile of your students?
50% will come from little above average. 50% of them do come from a middle class society.
Okay, so it's a mix.
Yeah, it's a mixed school.
Okay. And so, ma'am, had they not joined teaching, what do you think would have been their alternative professions?
For them,
For
you're
them,
asking me for them.
yes, for them.
Hard to know exactly to say what exactly to say because if you are given the opportunity to choose in a bifurcation is given in 8th standard, 9th standard for them to choose the kind of things that they want to learn, then probably they can pick up something else. But that wasn't there for them, so they couldn't make the right choice over there for the occasion that they want to do.
Oh.
I do hear some of my students, not most of them, but many of them are all absorbed. I do have some stray cases like that who have finished after finishing B.Ed has joined us in the police force. As I have someone who has joined in the PT, BST. So those are the things I feel sad because why I said you have actually blocked the seat of someone who really wants to do teaching. After doing the profession, it's because of money, a government job, and things like that you have moved to. This is actually both of them from UP. So like, you wonder how come the commitment to the call that you had was not taken.
Okay. Ma'am, and what would be their key motivation to join the program?
Motivation for them is probably some of them do find there is a lot of scope for them to join this course because that's what my students have been saying. I ask this question to my students. I do ask when they join, what made you to choose this? 50% say they have been a compulsion from parents. And 50% say they have made it as a choice because their teachers have motivated them. So somebody in the family had been in teaching, so they want to get it
Okay.
to the that's how it is.
Okay. Ma'am, what do your students like the most about the 2-year program?
Our program, they really like the co-curricular activities that we have. So they do enjoy the way that we teach the content through the activity, through these co-curricular activities.
And ma'am, there could be some issues that the students might be facing with respect to the program. What do you think those might be?
Yeah, our students have some issues like our infrastructure is not very, very, very posh in infrastructure. Because, as I told you, we believe in Gandhian philosophy, and all my management and everybody are coming from that background. So we do not have a very posh infrastructure, which the students do wanted to have. But at the moment, there is no infrastructure, nothing. Everybody's sitting at home and learning. So that's a different scenario altogether.
Okay. So that could, so infrastructure wise, that could be an issue.
Yeah, that's what they wanted it, a little more of comfort, little more of their need. We do have a canteen which is very I would say it is very, very small. Just they get a cup of tea, not more than that.
Okay.
So they prefer to have a very big canteen and things like that, which is I'm unable to give them. So
Okay. Now, and you know, what are your students' opinions regarding the teacher eligibility test examinations, the TET?
they feel that test is good because they do they but they say that the validity of the test, of course, now they are saying the validity is increased, but
Yes.
the validity of the test was very less. I mean, within that time, they're not able to get the kind of job they wanted to. So, and it is a tough one to crack as well, according to them. So that's why.
What so in what ways do you think your BEd program has changes students once they move out of your BEd program? So
I have a very a lot of opinion from my students that this is the best institution that they have had in the graduation right through. And the way that we have a very we are very open to them, we are very friendly with them, we take up a lot of suggestions and help them to come there. So the teacher-student relationship is very strong and very congealing. The mentor-mentee programs are always there in place for us, right from the inception. So there, what we call used to call faculty student faculty meet. Now it has come as mentor-mentee. So that is very strong, which helps the students to grow, and they are very open to us, and so they like the warmth and the friendliness at the same time. We are very firm when it comes to work and all, so they like it. And they like the teaching learning way process that happens in our institution. They really like it. The topics like group dynamics and topics like some of these topics, we do not just teach them with a theory, but we give them a practical experience of the whole thing, even the philosophers and philosophies. We just don't teach them. We even take them as a visit to Mani Bhavan to talk, learn about Gandhiji, come back and learn about his philosophy. So it's more on experience-based learning is what they've been learning, because we strongly believe in learning by doing. So that's something which when they go out of this institution, they learn a lot, and they're able to, I mean, they're able to speak about it very well. And our students who are absorbed in different institutions are really very happy about it. We have very good teachers, I mean, in the city, like as alumni, our alumni.
And what do you think is the feedback that you receive from schools with respect to teacher preparation or student preparation for that?
Come again, I couldn't hear you well.
So after BEd, your students get placed in different schools, right, for
Yes,
teaching. So
yes.
do you receive feedbacks from those schools with respect to their preparation?
Yes, they always tell us that our students mark an edge over the others. Yeah, I have in Vikhroli, Udyachal is one of the schools which is reputed, where some of my students are absorbed there. So always when I get a feedback from them, they keep asking me, students, saying that your students fall in line very fast, very quickly. They pick up, they have a base of this the curricular activity, they have a base already. So they come and they get imbibed very quickly. So that's what I get the feedback from them.
And ma'am, with respect to after they after they graduate and once they move out of your college, you said you have a very strong alumni. So what are the kind of feedback that they give you? And is the feedback just only with respect to where they are right now, or is it also reflection based feedback?
It is a reflection-based feedback, and we try to imbibe this feedback into our curriculum as well. They have, as you say, they have given feedback with regard to ICT of previous batches. Now we have updated the whole thing. They've given us feedback with regard to the classroom arrangements and situations like that. So we have modified that. Of course, every time they give us a feedback with canteen, so I'm still working on it. So we do get the feedback from them, and even with regard to our teaching, some of the topics, if they feel that this could be taken in some other ways, it is little maybe a boring, or maybe it is a very routine and mundane. If they have, yeah, they have given us feedback, we do try to change them.
Okay. And ma'am, so we were talking about the TP exam. So for the past two or three batches, how many of your students would have applied for the TP or the CPET exam?
We actually orient them. We have special classes for them, for the TT. And we encourage most of them to take part. And from the last four batches, at least about, I should say 15 of them have, got a job because of TT.
Okay. And ma'am, how many, so say 50 of your students do apply for the PET exam, how many do actually pass?
So when I look at the last TT, not all 50 could attempt for it. I think there were about 20 of them attempted for it.
Okay.
And out of which 8 of them or 7 of them have cleared that.
Okay. And you do provide support for TET preparation?
Yes, yes.
Okay. And so with respect to TET, there could be colleges that, you know, have, say, very high pass rate, and there could be colleges where there would be, you know, minimum or low pass rate. What could be the reasons for that?
See, when you look at the syllabus of the TET, it is very sad to say that, especially with the state government, not the, there are two levels are there. One is the state government, one is the central government.
Yes.
The central government syllabus is good because they say what they have a thing and they go ahead. The state government keeps changing, and it is not really up to the standard. There's a lot of changes that they make time and again. And as a result, the students go through a lot of hazardous things at the last minute. And the time keeps changing. You know, a lot of things are not in very good shape as of the central one.
Okay. So, but now that they're saying, I think last week only the news had come that it's been increased by 7 years or 10 years or something.
Yes, that's what they're saying. They're saying that.
Yeah. So how will that, come into play with respect to the schools now?
I feel that's maybe because of the NEP 2020 has made it compulsory for everybody to do the test. So I feel that has given us the thing that the number of years also should be more, and so that number of years has been gone ahead of it.
Okay. Ma'am, so what are students getting employed as after completion? I mean, in the last two batches, what proportion of students actually took up a job, and what kind of schools did they find their jobs in?
They find jobs in all kind of schools. Like, for example, some of them have got job in the aided institution. Some of them have got job in unaided institutions. So it depends on, some of them have got in CBSE, ICSE, because we do train them for all kind of things. So some of them have gone into CBSE schools. Some of them have gone to ICSE schools.
Okay.
So the absorption of the students are... all the Science Max students, 90% of them get absorbed immediately, and the 10 during the thing. Now, who gets a little late or finds it difficult to do is that the Hindi or the Marathi students.
Okay.
Now, we're here at the present moment. The schools want the students to be proficient in all three languages. So you are a English teacher, you should be proficient in Hindi, Marathi, as well as if whatever language teacher you are, you should be proficient in the other languages. That's a state language as well as English. So what the students were passed out as with the Hindi major, Hindi method. When they were able to speak English well, they were absorbed like anything quickly.
Okay.
But those students who were not able to be fluent in English, though the method is Hindi, they are very good at Hindi, but they were not fluent in English, were finding it a little difficult to be absorbed.
Okay. And ma'am, so how does the placement thing work at your institute? I mean, do you have a placement cell or?
Yes, we have a placement cell in place. So the placement cell give them a lot of things. They give grooming workshops goes for them from the placement cell with regard to the personality, with regard to how to face interviews. The grooming work goes on from the placement cell. So after the grooming session, then they are actually given mock interviews and other things. So then they are prepared, and afterwards we do have, in the regular time, we used to have a Mela. So different schools come here to the campus, and then they have a campus interview.
Okay.
Now there are two ways. We have a campus interview, and we have also with a long tie-up with the alumni. So we have interviews off campus as well. The schools from our different alumni and other schools which we are associated with practice teaching and other things, they give us a list of requirement to us, and we look at the thing and we send it to them to the school. So we have both off campus, on campus interview.
Okay, so you have to. We have heard that, you know, new teachers who are just passed out from BEd are generally given lower grade classes to teach in schools. Is this true? And do your students, you know, who are placed in lower grades, were they trained to teach lower grade classes?
Lower grade is maximum till 5th standard. That's what my students have gone to. They have not gone to the primary section, no.
Okay.
As far as I could remember, in the last 5 years, you can think of also, nobody is placed in the primary section. They are placed in 5th standard up to 10th standard. The first question as you asked, I have students who have been absorbed right away to teach 10th standard.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's not that they have not put in the higher classes as well, and not in a small schools like that. Schools which have a great population, good population, they have absorbed and put directly to teach 10th standard.
Okay, okay.
So,
and now, what proportion of your students seek government jobs and get government jobs?
That's a very, very meager thing. First of all, there is a ceiling. They have not opened up. For a long time, they have not opened the thing. Now, recently, they said the opening is there. But they have to give exams and other things. It's not like previous time. So, those people definitely would look for TET clearance. So, that's where the students are also motivated to do a TET exam and get that cleared as well. So, first of all, not much of opening comes from the government. Secondly, at the finishing of the BA, they also should have a TET in the hand, which is also a little challenging. So, as to my knowledge, there are about very few students who have gone into government aided institution.
Ma'am, and like you said, you have a placement cell. Do you also have your institute affiliated with private schools for placements?
Yes, of course. We have both all the private schools as well as aided schools we have as part of our placement.
Oh, okay. And ma'am, what do you think would be the starting salary of these students who join private schools?
Yeah, private schools, it is between, if they are taking them in a very mediocre schools, I mean, the center schools around which they are taking. I have students who are having from 35K, also is there 25K. 25 to 35K, they get it. Okay. But there are students who are getting also 12 to 15.
Ma'am, does this range define the grades also? So if you're say if you're a
Yeah,
primary teacher.
12 to 15, they are giving those students who are in fifth standard teaching. I have heard that 12 to 15, so six like that.
Okay. So it depends on the range or the grade in which you're
Some
teaching.
of them, they depend on the grades.
Grade. Okay. And ma'am, what are the other careers other than teaching that students can pursue in the
Our
education
BEd
system?
students can, once they finish the master's, if they finish their MEd, or even with BEd, they are taking nowadays in the HR unit. Two of my students have been absorbed. They had master's and BEd, they are absorbed in the HR unit. And some of them are not for teaching, for curriculum planning and designing. In the school, for the curriculum to be planned for the entire school, like that, they have a unit. Like in Podar schools, they have a Podar and all of them, they have a unit called Curriculum Planning Department. So some of my students are absorbed there also, who are at the planning level. They
Okay.
are not teaching, they only plan the curriculum.
Oh, wow. Okay. Ma'am, what are some of the challenges that you or your colleagues face with reference to teaching students?
Yeah, challenges is that since the see, our course is very limited, our number one is our admission itself is a big challenge for us. This course is supposed to be a 2-year course. And when your student comes in January, you've already lost around 6 to 7 months of the first year.
Does this happen like normally, or is it now because of COVID?
Now, due to COVID, worst. But normally also, we get our students up to October, November. The last student gets into institution. I have record of students who have come November. So the first quarter, it gets so.
Right.
There were times when we could take the admission that at the university level, and we could take the admission at straight away with that, with an entrance test. We finish our admission for the next year in April. So June used to be the time that the child students come in, and they used to have all the orientations, and they're prepared, ready to go to school from July onwards. We have a parallel system. Our course is a professional course. And the parallel system is that schools are a parallel system. We need to work along with the schools. Now, when the student comes in the almost at the end of first semester, you find it very difficult to do the practical work for them because they have to give lessons, they have to absorb lessons, they have to.
Yes.
All that comes in a very big toll goes into jeopardy. So we find it's like, it's a very big task for the teachers, and as the days goes, it's becoming worse. It's not becoming better.
Ma'am, I just want to know why. So, why do the BEd students come in so late? I mean, why does it happen until November? COVID, I understand, but otherwise, I'm just trying to
It's
understand.
all it's all it's with the it's a government. Government has to take the policy. They
Okay.
have to give the They have to come out with the print work, and they have to give it to the concerned departments, and then it has to roll on and on and on. What happens is that earlier it used to be after the students have finished the graduation, at least 1 year they have to wait to join the BEd course. That was very good because everything is in place for them to understand and know. Now what happens? Because I would see the kind of policies that has changed due to the pressures from the government to appease their own interest, because most of them have ministers and have others have their schools and other things. So what they decided, say, the same year the students can apply. So the results have to be declared for the TYs. The results get delayed due to whatever so reason.
Right.
So when that results get delayed, so everything goes later and later and later.
Yeah.
before what happens, 1 year you need summer camp. So we have students ready in April to do the CET and to do all the other process. Now, April, you are not having your degree. Your degree comes in June, probably in July. So all the CET test begins from July or end of June or whatsoever. So then it goes on and on and on. By the time they finish their processing and all of that, and then they come out.
And ma'am, what about, you know, challenges that you and your colleagues might face with respect to, say, your salary or your opportunities to develop as a professional?
See, as I told you, ours is a government-aided college.
Okay.
So our salary comes from the government.
Okay.
So that's, there is no problem in that for us.
Okay.
Because we get the scale of pay, and our institution is very good at that. So our salary goes as per the government on time. There is no problem. And also, we believe in helping the teachers to develop the skills. So they also are given timely promotions and timely assistance. Our IQAC cell is there, just taking care of the faculty needs, and they always look into that. Any new skills, any new things have come in, so we always request the student teachers to participate in that. So there is no issues with that.
Okay. And ma'am, what about the NCT regulations? How do their regulations, do they create hindrances in your management?
Yeah, NCTE, you asked, right?
Yes.
Yeah, NCTE is the one who gives the guidelines for a syllabus. So they are our body. We have three regulatories. One is the Maharashtra government, one is the UGC, the other is the NCTE. Right. So our rules and regulations follows everything. And NCTE also, we are accountable to them with regard to our activities that we do with regard to our kind of the entire work that we do. We are accountable to them as well. So they do guide us. They do give us the guidelines for which we need to apply.
Right. It's the same with Mumbai University also, right? The guidelines and the examination pattern would be coming from.
Yes.
And ma'am, what is your view with respect to the 4-year B.Ed. program that has now been proposed by the new education policy?
See, then it has to be the way the treatment and the entire process should be like the professional course. Where they should not be just any and everybody who are interested cannot get into this. Just like after 12th, there are exams that has to be given for engineering or medical. There should be streamlines for this. And in parallel, they should keep even teaching profession in parallel with the other profession.
Okay.
Even the doctors and engineers come through the teaching. So this profession has to be... 1 minute. I'm in an interview, so I will give it just to you. 12:15. Sorry, I haven't.
Sorry, ma'am, I'm taking a lot of your time. It won't take more than 5 to 7 minutes more.
My management is there, so they
just
want
5 to 7 minutes more.
Yeah.
We were talking about the 4-year integrated. Okay.
Yeah, so that's what I mean. So they should be given the same weightage, same kind of, it should not be like, you can't get into medical, you can't get into engineering, you can get into teaching. It should not be so like that. If you're making into 4-year integrated, jolly well make that as a quality-based one, aptitude-based one. Yeah, let that be a test in which there could be screened totally on the basis of their aptitude and then get into the course to learn about it.
Right. And ma'am, do you think this will eventually lead to improving quality of teacher across all
I
levels?
hope so, because I really looking forward, because what happens is the country, the beard course is only to train them with regard to methodology, not with content. But if you do not have the content, I cannot do anything with the methodology.
True.
So in the 4 year is that is why the 4 year is also coming in, where the content and the methodology is kind of streamlined for them. So we know that these people have gone through this content. They have a base for this content when they come at the end of this.
And they're also talking about, the composite part of the beard. The 2 year also should continue along with the 4 year. What is your take, your institute's take on it?
It will be there slowly, it will wean out. Like how the 1 year has weaned out now.
Right.
It was there, 1 year was there for at least for the exams and other things were going on for some time to clear off the whole thing. Similarly, this 2 year, because it is an initiated program, and there were many graduates who wanted to do teaching who have come out of the thing. So they should also get a fair chance of trying out with that. So probably it will be not. It will be a weaning process, and it will be not.
And just one last question, because we are right in the middle of pandemic. So, how has COVID actually, how did COVID work or not work for you as an institute?
Hi, I have been an unfortunate in charge principal in the COVID time.
Oh,
It is so very difficult to get connected, communicated, and work properly. I don't know what the student is doing on the other side of the screen, because there is no opening from them, however, whatever. So, see, we are getting into the homes, and there are women, especially women, whose roles are being drastically changed due to this COVID. Okay, they were the caregivers right from the beginning, but at least their caregiving time was limited when they are out to learn or to progress in something. But in this situation, the caregiving, this is like a continuous 24/7. In that, they have to do everything. So as it is, I don't say feel bad for. I really feel bad for them when they are not able to keep the screen open. They are not able to interact there because they are not given that space. If it was a man, nobody disturbs a man when he's working from home. But if it's a woman, I myself face that. So I know that if I'm giving this interview from home, I also would have been intervened in times. So I'm telling you, right? So this is something which is very difficult thing. Number two, we are not, everything is on technology, everything is based on the connectivity and technology. There is no hands-on experience that comes for them, which we really believe. So this comes as a very big block. They're not able to, they're only able to use a limited sense. They're only able to do a limited things which is that. So we used to take them visits for museum. Now we have to call the museum on wheels to come and just orient us about that. So now the experience is very, very difficult.
And the students that you're sorry, the difficulties your students must be facing in terms of monetary or medical conditions, how?
All that is there as well, because as I told you, our majority of the students are women, and women has a greater role at home when they stay at home, whether they are young or whatever thing. Our students are about 20 plus. They are coming when they're coming at 22, 23 and plus. So either they are so the caregiving role is too much for them to do that. And in that process, they are not able to give their best, even if they want to give the best.
And ma'am, how has your faculty coped with COVID?
They had managed, that's what I could say in one word. They managed the whole thing. They had to, initially, they had to learn, unlearn, learn, and then they have to teach. So it was learning and teaching going simultaneously. And they picked up a lot of course, this year was a little better because they are equipped with skills. So they are able to roll it out in a better manner. Yeah. But still, nothing like person to person, face to face, especially for teaching.
That's true. And ma'am, one last question. You know, overall, if I would want to ask you, how has COVID, you know, affected the program as a whole, how would you describe that?
If you ask me to put it on a scale of 1 to 10,
yes,
it has affected, I would say, up to 7.
Okay.
So 70%, I would say, affected. Okay. 70 to 80%, I would say, it has totally affected the teaching learning process. So we could not, the teachers who would be coming out of this will definitely not be a role model, a good teacher. That's my opinion.
Okay. Okay, ma'am. Thank you so much for your